Welcome to MTE's Plugged In podcast. This podcast focuses on the world of electric vehicles. We combine expert interviews and personal stories to educate and inform listeners about electric vehicles. So whether you're an early adopter who has been driving an EV for years or you're just starting your research, this podcast is for you.
Hello, I'm Brandon Wagner.
And I'm Amy Byers, and welcome to Middle Tennessee Electric's Plugged In podcast. Today, we are excited to welcome one of our own, Denise Miller, who is the Managing Counsel for Middle Tennessee Electric. And Denise has recently joined the EV family with her purchase of a Nissan Ariya. So welcome to the podcast,
Thank
Denise.
You.
So the first thing we want to ask you is, what made you decide you were ready for an EV?
Well, I've been thinking about getting an EV for years. I've been wanting to. I just could not ever get over the hump or the fear of making the decision. Mm-hmm. And then finally, right before the holidays, came upon this amazingly still. And it was really sort of an impulsive decision. I was just like, it's Christmas. I'm just going to do it. And so I just jumped in.
Merry Christmas to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to me. And I love it.
Well, great.
Yeah.
I think mine was a little bit impulsive too. But I mean, like intentionally impulsive, because I was also like doing some research. And then when the price was where I wanted it to be, I felt comfortable making the decision. So
yeah, you know, the car that I had was old, and the amount of maintenance I was having to do on it plus gas. And I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to do it, I need to just do it now. So, and I don't regret it at all. Best decision.
Now, I mean, you did, I know we talked, I think a couple years ago when you were looking, you've done a lot of research. Landing on the Ariya, I know probably a lot of it had to do with the lease deal, but what are some other features that made you draw toward the Ariya?
Well, I have a family member that has one, so I had driven it before, and so I knew I liked it. One thing I really like about it is the body style. So it's to me, it's the perfect crossover side. Mm-hmm. It's not too big, it's not too small, and when you're sitting in the cabin, it feels very open. It's got a moonroof.
Yeah.
So I like the style of it. I like how it drove. So I knew that I would like it if I went forward with it. So
is it bigger than some of the others, what they're calling SUVs? I know when I've looked at a lot of these models, when they're saying, well, here's your SUV. Well, it's not what I think an SUV is. And I know, like, when we go on vacation, I use all the trunk space or that back
yeah.
space, and you know, it looks much smaller to me. So when you're comparing this with other EV models, do you think it's a little bigger?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
It's not as big as a typical SUV, I would think, but I found that it's still plenty of space. Like when you lay the trunk down and lay the seats down, there's still plenty of space in the back.
In the back.
So for me, it's the perfect size.
Yeah. Okay.
To me, it looks similar to the Rogue, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit of a, it's not quite the Pathfinder size. But
right. Yeah.
So when we've talked to a lot of people who have been on the EV journey, we always ask them, how did you purchase it? Did you purchase it locally? Did you go out of town? Did you order it? Because with these EVs, it's all over the map.
Yeah.
You know, some mm-hmm. like, I think you ordered yours, you know, and even there at the beginning, you would go to the dealership. You didn't have them there to ride around in. You just ordered them and waited, you know. So what was the purchase process for you?
So I did it locally, and it was really simple. Just fill out the paperwork, sign up, and then a few weeks later, you get your car. So it was very seamless, easy process.
Did they have one on the showroom for you to look
no.
at? No.
Mm-mm.
So you still are kind of buying without mm-hmm. seeing.
Yeah, but because I had driven one before, mm-hmm. you know, I knew what it would be like. And then, you know, I just picked the color and the finishes and that sort of thing. And so it was, but it was easy process.
What are, you know, as you were, you know, doing your research and now you have the Ariya, was there anything with the Ariya that was kind of unique to it that the other EV models didn't have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if what I love about the Ariya is unique just to the Ariya. And I could talk about that if you want me to, just what
sure.
I love about
yeah.
driving
an
EV. I love the driving experience way more than I even thought I would,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause I don't consider myself a car person really.
Yeah.
But, I love driving it cause it's so smooth. You know, you've got that instant to work. It's so quiet. I love being able to stop at a stop sign, roll down the window and hear nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love all the, you know, sort of the techie features, you know, the big screen, with all the information about the details of the car and how it's running. But I guess unique to the Aria, some features would be, it has a console that you can move, the center console. You can move forward and back, put it where you want it. Mm-hmm. It's got some safety features called, ProPilot Assist, that can help you stay in your lane and give you warnings if you're getting out of your lane. And it's got the, like I mentioned before, the big moonroof feature. So those are some specific things to the Aria, but I think just the whole EV experience in general, is a wonderful driving experience.
We've heard that a lot. I think that's the constant message that, that we're getting from the people that have an EV, is that it's just brought the joy of driving back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, you know, you had a lot of, we've talked about this before, you have a lot of car clubs, you know, people were gathering to be, and you don't see that as much now, but you're starting to see that again, especially around the excitement around the EVs and how much fun it is to just get out there and take a ride in the country, you know, Sunday afternoon drive.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, one pedal driving, do you, is that a feature you can turn on or off? Because in Tesla, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, you can turn it on or off. And I really haven't used it.
You have?
No, I have not played around with the ProPilot Assist that much.
Okay.
So you're driving it like you would a regular vehicle.
I do.
When you're hitting the brake and the gas.
I do. And there, you know, there's also another feature you can turn on. Gosh, I don't even know the technical name for what it's called, but, it will preserve your battery.
Uh-huh.
The regen. The regen.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, and I don't use that either. I just drive it like regular car.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would do. Cause I feel like this was one of my concerns early on was if you do that, if you just do the one pedal, you know, hit the gas and then you come off the gas to brake, that when you go back and get in your ICE vehicle, that you're going to be in that habit and then you're going to do that and not stop and rear in somebody.
It's just
or,
a different feel,
you know,
when you're driving it. And so I've just not gotten used to it.
Yeah.
So I just haven't really used it.
Yeah.
But
so I don't know the answer to this one, but does Aria have an app? Like, does it come with an app?
It does.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of the features with the app?
So the app lets you turn the car on
from
inside the house, and you can set your temperature.
Cool. Okay.
And you can see if you're charging, you know, like what you're charging up to. And
yeah. And, you know, me and you talked, like, I know you've had it for a little over 2 months, but it's remarkable how you get used to things that you didn't realize you didn't need. Like, the thought of having to stop at a gas station just drives me crazy now.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I love getting in a car, and it's full every time I get in it. So.
I know. And it's amazing. And I don't drive that much, so, you know, especially around town. So, you know, I can charge here at the office maybe once a week.
And speaking of charging, what's the range?
So, based on my driving habits, the car tells me it's about 280.
Have you gone on any trips?
Not yet. I want to.
How long have you had it? I don't think we've asked that question.
So, I got it right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas.
So,
you did. We did talk about that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, I have not taken it on any trips yet.
Okay.
But I want to.
Yeah.
Maybe down to Atlanta, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good route. There's a lot of charging between here and there.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, stop in Chattanooga or whatever, but.
So, we've established that you've had it since December.
Yeah.
So, now that you've had it and you've been, you know, driving it, would, if you could do it over, would you still purchase the Aria, and would you encourage other people to purchase the Aria?
I mean,
are you a big fan?
Like, I love it. Like, so this is a lease, you know, so I'm not going to get to keep it forever, but I sort of wish I could because I really do love it. So, yeah, I would encourage other people to look at it if they're interested in EV for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, we're obviously, Nissan is one of our members that we're very supportive that they do really well. And it's exciting to see we're seeing a lot more of them around town. first few times I saw one, I thought I didn't. It's the first SUV that's an EV that doesn't look like an EV from a mile. You know, I think for a long time, EVs were very. They branded them, not Nissan necessarily, but just EV manufacturers made them stick out. And now they're starting to get to be a little, just like a car.
Yeah.
It just happens to have an electric motor in it.
Yeah.
I had a member call me the other day. He just recently bought an Aria as well. For those people who are interested in looking at EVs and maybe they've been studying them like you did for a long time, maybe they're not sure if they want to make a purchase, what tips would you give them? Maybe Aria based or other things that you learned?
That's a great question. I think for me, I think what helped me was deciding to go with the lease. You know, the purchase just seemed such a big decision, you know, and not knowing where technology is going to go and charging infrastructure and that sort of thing. So I think if you're on the fence, maybe consider the lease option.
Yeah.
So it lets you wait in, see if you like it, and then go from there. That would probably be my advice.
Yeah, you don't have to maybe jump fully in.
I know we have had a Leaf in the MTE fleet for a while. Did you drive the Leaf before? You know, Nissan, a lot of manufacturers do not have two options. Nissan has two options, and they've had the Leaf for, you know, they've kind of been ahead of the game. They've had it for, you know, I don't know, 10 years or plus, long time. But what was your comparisons? Had you driven the Leaf before? You know, what were your thoughts on that?
I had driven the Leaf that we have here at the office, but it was a couple years ago, so I don't know if it's the same model that we have now. But I honestly, if I can be honest, I didn't love it. It felt very sort of base level to me, and it the cabin felt kind of cramped to me.
Yeah.
This one feels a lot more open, and honestly, the features on the Aria are just more of a premium level than the Leaf. So it's a very different experience.
Yeah,
Aria.
I always felt like when I would drive the Leaf and get out of the Leaf or have people in the Leaf, we would always felt like those clown cars where, you know, everybody's crammed in there and then you get out, because it feels that way to me.
It
feels very tight and cramped.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you hit on something when you said it more of a premium experience, because I think the first generation of EVs were a very niche product. And now EVs have kind of evolved to being a luxury vehicle, a luxury experience.
Right.
And I've kind of wondered why some manufacturers don't have an app for their ICE vehicles. And Hyundai is actually finally doing that on one of their SUVs. But there's a lot of features that we love, and we've talked about features we love that you could do in an ICE vehicle, but for some reason, manufacturers put them in EVs and not the others. And but you're right; it's a luxury experience. And I am curious. One more thing: if I'm like hearing what you were saying about why you were a little hesitant for a while to make that purchase, to me, I would kind of say I hear similar things from folks that say, I think I'm going to have to adjust my lifestyle to accommodate being an EV owner. And it seems like the more people I talk to when they jump into that, it's really more, you know what, this being an EV owner accommodates my lifestyle.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
I totally would agree. Because, you know, I don't have a long commute. Mm-hmm. I don't drive real far. So it's just, you know, around town. And so it's perfect for my lifestyle. You know, and if I were to go on a really long trip, which doesn't really happen. I can't remember the last time I actually drove on a really long trip. You know, I could always rent a car. But it is perfect for my lifestyle. So I've had, you know, really not a lot of range anxiety to deal with or anything like that. So,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I charge once a week and I'm good.
Yeah. And the hard thing is nobody can really fully understand that until they make the jump like you did.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's good to hear. I think it's an encouraging message that people who are nervous about it, it's one I want them to continue to hear, that, you know, there's a little risk involved, but a lot of times it works out. And I just want to say too, especially, how thankful I am to Denise, because I know our listeners won't know all of the involvement that she has had in many of our EV strategies, the DC fast chargers that we're putting in. Denise has been critical in all of that. So, even though you're working in the background a lot of times, but, I know. Thank you for that, for all that you're doing.
Definitely part of the MTE EV team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
But thank you so much.
Oh, you're so
for
welcome.
Joining us today.
Happy
we really
to do
appreciate it.
It.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening today. If you have any questions about MTE's EV Ready program, night flex rate, or anything EV related, email us at evcarclub@mte.com. For more information on MTE's Drive EV programs or the EV Car Club, please visit driveev.com or email us at evcarclub@mte.com. Until next time, plug in, power up, and drive safe.
If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review. Also, we would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas of topics you would like for us to discuss, please email us at driveev@mte.com. Thanks for listening.